We're having this conversation at a time where polls are suggesting that support for One Nation is on the rise. Mm. What do you think is leading people to seemingly embrace the politics of Pauline Hanson?
My initial response to that question would be that it reflects the chaos that exists in the coalition at the moment and the division that's there between the Liberal and National parties. And there's probably a shift away as a result, where people feel like they want a conservative voice, but they are not satisfied that the Liberal and National parties can deliver that. I think the wrong lesson for the National Party in particular, that seemed energised and focused on the rise of One Nation, is for them to emulate or cozy up to One Nation. In fact, former senators of theirs, like Ron Boswell, identified early on that you needed to take them on. And I think there are some definite lessons there, and there's definitely good advice there on it. As to whether or not it signals a deeper thing, I'll leave that for people who analyse these things to be able to examine that. But I think on its face, I think it reflects that division that is there.
Do you think there's a responsibility or a role for the government in curtailing that?
I think what we have sought to do is bring people together. I think we've recognised that people have gone through an exceptionally difficult, terrible chapter in our nation's history. And I think there's definitely a view within our camp about what we can do to bring communities together. Not everyone's going to agree. People think that you have to always be homogenous and absolutely uniform in your approach. I think different views are good if they're respectful and designed to move things forward in a sensible way. But I think that's where our big focus is. But it's been hard post-Bondi. We missed the post-Christchurch chance, Noel. You know, we had that event. We needed to work out how to bring people together. And we just had this politicisation that I just think was wrong. We can get over this. It's not that it's set in stone, but I do think we need to take the moment of going, okay, what do we all do? What do we bring? And I've said this in Parliament. What do we bring to the table individually as parliamentarians? How are we going to bring people together? We have to be able to balance the hard and the soft here, right? Hard on terrorism, absolutely, and tough on that. But the element of softness is not weakness in terms of being able to console and bring people together. That is not weakness. We should be able to emulate the way in which Jacinda Ardern responded to Christchurch and build a stronger nation as a result. I think that's the end game. That's what we need to focus on.
Mm. You've spoken about Islamophobia throughout mm-hmm. your political career. You've used your speech just this week in Parliament to say that anti-Semitism, Islamophobia and racism across the board need to be dealt with. Mm. I wonder whether you think things have gone backwards. It is something that people often tell me, yeah. that they feel that we're experiencing the levels of fear-mongering that we saw post 9/11. Mm. Do you agree?
I do. I do. I think we face a real challenge. I think it's inescapable. I know there's a tendency for politicians to always try and focus on the positive, and I understand the role in that, but I think we also have to be conscious of the fact that there is a with the rise of far-right extremism, there is a drive on or a growth in racism that does need to be countered. We had someone throw a bomb, a homemade bomb, in a crowd in Perth on an Invasion Day march. It hardly made the media. So I think this is a mirror too to the way we respond to events like that. We have to hold that up. Politicians have a role. Media has a role as well. And I certainly think, I mean, obviously we've got some work being done in the anti-Semitism and Islamophobia space with the appointment of the envoys and the work that they've done, the special envoys they've done. I think we've got to get on with the work that has been done by the Human Rights Commission in saying we've got to have a very broad-ranging, serious approach in terms of racism and combating it.
So you would support the adoption of the anti-racism framework, which the government hasn't yet?
I think we need to respond to that report. I think we need to, you know, we may not necessarily agree with everything, but we certainly need to fast that track that response, because I am genuinely concerned that, you know, I'm just going to say it. I reckon if the person who threw that bomb was brown or Muslim, we'd be having a different discussion. I just point blank think it would be different. And that's not good enough. I think anyone, I'm just going to say this, I don't care if they're Islamist or far-right extremist. I said this in the parliament. I just want to restate it here. I don't care if they're Islamist or far-right extremist. If they pose a threat to the safety of our fellow Australians, that has to be confronted. And if racism nurtures a safe haven for that type of thinking to extend beyond the bounds of thought to action that presents a threat, that's serious. And there has to be a number of things. The tackling terrorism is not just about beefing up a national security presence. It's about attending, attacking, dealing with the underlying conditions that are allowing people to think it's acceptable to move from thought to action. And so I think that's important as well.
Ed Husic, I really appreciate your time and for you joining us on a sitting day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Federal Labor MP and member for Chifley, Ed Husic. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria and Camilla Hannan. Sound design and mixing by Daniel Simo. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. If you like this episode, don't forget you can subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you get your podcasts. You can also leave us a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Catch you next time.